gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Chris LaVoy, voice deity, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Oh, dear. Like my mom's stenographer, my brother did.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I screwed up the recipe yesterday. For the shrimp, tomato, and pea, my mom's recipe.
You made it again, or is that
no,
just
this is
you
leftovers.
Left out the shrimp, right? That
was it. No.
How long do you leave that over?
No.
Before it starts to turn.
We can get shrimp cheap here in L.A. because it's freshly radiated from Fukushima.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, kill the bacteria, but it might kill you, too.
Yeah.
But. Exactly. But my mom, because when my mom needs to tell me something, for some reason, she calls my brother and has him typing in his machine.
Mm.
Which is his computer, as we know, and then he sends it along to me.
At least your brother knows how to write in the big box.
Yes. All right. And it says from mom. Hey, Steffi, you forgot to mention the flour to thicken the stewed tomatoes in the shrimp dish.
Oh.
Don't goof up my recipe. Love you anyway, mom.
Of course.
My 89-year-old Republican mom in Charlotte would like you to know.
You don't want
to. Okay, let's start again. So you saute the green pepper and the onion, and then you put in the stewed tomatoes, the frozen peas. You can do frozen or fresh shrimp, whatever you know.
Can you use fresh peas?
And then
peas?
Salt and pepper, and then, Mom?
Why not?
I don't know. And then,
I don't
my mom
why
wants
not.
To call my brother now, and he'll have to write on the machine again. And then, and curry. Salt and pepper curry, and then stewed tomatoes. It's delicious. And then over rice. Let's see. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. All right. Sorry, Mom. I think I actually put in cornstarch instead of the flour. I'm not sure if that's authorized or not, but I did put a thickening agent in it.
Okay.
All right.
I wonder if you could add some chicken breast or something in there.
All right. Another less important news. The White House called, and we'll have the Spencer Boyer. Not sure if that's who he is or what he does, but he is the Obama campaign national security advisor.
He's very important.
Big wig. Senator Jeff Merkley, Representative Joe Courtney, Ron Reagan Jr.
Yep.
All right, then.
Cool.
Yeah. So in the meantime, hello. Oh. It's, it's our favorite day of the week when we get Frisch.
Carl.
Carl Frisch. Wholefightstrategies.com.
Sounds like Kung Fu Fight Strategies there for a second.
See, give me my shrimp catapult to help you in the eye.
Okay, when I'm searching for Carl Frisch, I type in K-A-R.
Uh-huh.
That's also
karate.
Karate sound effects.
I see.
So that's what that
All right,
was.
And now here he is.
Karate
Taekwondo
Frisch.
Master Carl Frisch. Good morning, Carl.
Karate Frisch.
Good morning. Don't you just love how Newt Gingrich quits the presidential campaign?
Yeah, on Tuesday.
I'm going to drop out next week. Check in with me next week.
Yeah,
well,
I'll drop out then.
That's the weirdest, isn't it?
Why would he do something like that? Does it have to do with money or negotiations or something?
I think ever since he left his dying wife, he's been trying to make sure he doesn't cut off anything too close to the end.
He needs to get out more gracefully, is that it? Yeah, I think I'm guessing right now as we speak, Sheldon Adelson is like holding him upside down over a balcony on the Bellagio trying to get the last money back. Don't you think?
See, that's where we're wrong, Stephanie, because $25 million to Sheldon Adelson is like $25 to us.
Yeah.
So he's like, all right, keep
it. Didn't actually, in his head, he didn't spend that much money at all.
Yeah.
Which is what's sick about Citizens United.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly. By the way, I love the Carl Frisch tweets.
Mm-hmm.
You say new poll shows youth still have hope in Obama unless they have dancing horses and two caddies. My favorite part was the conference call that the youth outreach conference call with Romney surrogates.
Yeah.
And one of them, the best he could come up with. Is he's not as decrepit as John McCain.
Right. I mean, when you're comparing yourself, I mean, do you remember the Dole Kemp ticket? They used Jack Kemp to appeal to young people.
Oh, yeah.
Because he wasn't as old as Bob Dole, and because he played football, and they used to say Kemp is the dude.
Yeah.
I mean, if your party can't attract young people, it's not just because it's full of old people. It's because it's culturally, it just culturally can't reach them.
Yeah. You write, my favorite other tweet is, Romney's remarks tonight written by an anonymous former president, though it's tough getting crayon off the teleprompter. I mean, they did admit it's the Bush plan. Just they're going to do this
Everything
with their hands.
People need to realize that we're not allowed to talk about George W. Bush if you listen to conservatives,
yeah.
because then the cat's out of the bag. I mean, it's like an episode of Scooby-Doo. You can pick any Republican candidate for office and pull the mask off, and it's George Bush.
Oh, no.
I would have gotten away with it if it wasn't for you darn kids.
Yeah, it's Old Man Winters.
Yeah.
from the abandoned amusement park.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then this tweet, Newt Gingrich, who's been married three times, encourages North Carolina Amendment 1 anti-gay ballot measure. Just, you know, enough said.
Yeah.
Yeah, and remember, Newt Gingrich has a lesbian sister, so that's where his heart is. You know, it's he's such a good guy.
Yeah.
Although
yeah.
it's pretty funny reading this morning that he's likely not to get any speaking slot at the convention, which is,
no.
I think it's great for the Republican Party. I would really like him to be prime time.
Can't they just? Can't
I think
they just...
he'd do it.
Go ahead.
I think he'd do a good job of bringing in new Republicans. And, I think they should also put Santorum in prime time.
Yes.
David Duke in prime time.
Can't they just float Newt over the convention like a Macy's Day parade float, balloon? Maybe tether him to the podium.
Yeah, I think
and let
you'd
him...
have to tie some strings to his legs and just kind of float him across. Yeah, I think it'd be awesome.
Yeah. All right, let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing, shall we? Gretchen Carlson on the Fox and the Friends on the president.
Saying sorry, apparently not the hardest part for President Obama. Remember the president's big apology tour? Well, Mitt Romney says he'll never apologize for America, so which is the right approach?
There we go again. It's an oldie but goodie.
How about not pissing off the world? That's the right approach.
Well, he'll be too busy doing things for the next president to apologize if Mitt Romney's elected.
Right.
Just like George W. Bush, again, pull the mask off, it's Bush.
Yeah.
But this is Fox and Friends. I mean, this is the station where Steve Doocy can create quotes out of complete lies.
Yeah.
And then barely kind of half-heartedly apologize for them.
Yeah, did you see that apology for making up that stuff about... what Obama said?
Yeah, basically saying that the president said that he was born with, I wasn't born with a silver spoon in my mouth, unlike other people,
right.
Which he never said.
Obama never even close to King.
Right.
Doocy saying that to, basically putting that in Romney's head and saying respond to that. And then, it kind of took off. It got picked up by other papers, and Doocy could barely even apologize for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. All right. Rush Limbaugh on the left.
Illegal immigration is a big deal to the left because it's a source of voters.
Okay, here we go again.
The Democrats are losing voters. They have to replace them. They're aborting voters, literally. They are aborting their own future voters. They need new voters. The illegal population is a gold mine for them.
Mm. Yeah, I guess that's because the president's ahead by, 20 points among Hispanic voters. He's got to make sure that, he puts out the falsehood that they're all illegal.
They're all illegal.
Yeah, yeah.
It's that old adage, I know you are, but what am I? I mean, Rush Limbaugh needs to look at who's actually losing voters here. I mean, first of all, there's more Democrats in this country than there are Republicans. Second of all, it's the old white people that are dying off that vote Republican. Everybody will tell you from the right and left that demographically the left is poised to pick up more voters as the country moves on, and it's not the right. Rush Limbaugh should be very thoughtful of this because he's like one, KFC order away from being part of that old conservative movement that needs to be replaced.
Oh, Carl Frisch. All right. Charles Krauthammer on the Brit Bear Show.
Ripper. We're in a dead heat. I think Republicans are demoralized because they had
dead
a big
heat.
Lead a
really?
Year ago, 6 months ago. And when you blow a 9-run lead, you feel that you're going to lose, but the score is tied, and we're going into extra innings. Huh. And I think they're evenly matched. Obama has a problem, which is his record. And Romney has a problem, which is he's a less attractive personality than Obama is.
Which one?
Yes, which personality? Yeah, and by the way, go ahead.
It's multiple personalities, and which Krauthammer would have told you just a month ago.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And right. The last I checked, they're not in a dead heat. The president is ahead, but okay.
No, I mean, and we'll get to this down the road where we actually look at the state-by-state polling. Thus far, the president is ahead in key battleground states all over the country,
yep.
and which would give him a lopsided Electoral College victory.
Yep, yep. Ahead by, as I said, 20 points among Hispanics, almost 20 points for, among women, but okay.
I think the dead heat was just from one Gallup poll, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A few weeks ago, yeah. All right, Dick Morris on Fox and Friends.
The media tends to react to what it last did badly. So, for example, it was relatively mild toward Bush during the early years of his administration after 9/11. Mm. And then it overcompensated by being too harsh during the Iraq War. And then when Obama got elected, they said, oh, wow, we just ruined the presidency with Bush. Maybe we'll be nicer to Obama.
What?
And I think you will begin to see a bit of a pendulum swing against Obama, even though the media itself is liberal.
Huh. I see, because...
Well, first of all, we've already seen the media be more harsh on Obama right. than Romney. I mean, that study came out from Pew saying
right.
that the media was three times more likely to be positive for Romney than they were for Obama. And second of all, I don't know why they still put Dick Morris on television after how many times he's been wrong with political predictions. You could put a magic eight ball in a chair and have a better likelihood of getting the answer right yeah. than if you right. host Dick Morris.
I yeah. predict that Sarah Palin will be queen of Brazil.
Yeah, how's that book Hillary versus Condi selling?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and by the way, and because the media, happened to pointed out the illegal, unnecessary Iraq war, that was somehow, they didn't want to then ruin Obama's presidency? What?
Yeah, that was a logic knot.
There's a great book called Lapdogs that everybody should get that Eric Bullitt wrote about how the media marched us into Iraq.
Yeah.
So, you know, don't tell me that the media was, you know, tempered when it comes to Bush. They were, you know, they felt the shiver up the leg, to use the words from Chris Matthews.
Yes.
And I love that they always go to Chris Matthews as their example of a liberal media. He's a liberal commentator.
Like, right.
You can go through the entire lineup at Fox News and find examples of them cheerleading for the Republicans.
Yep.
And then, again, that Bowler book sells it all.
Yep, absolutely. All right, Carl Frisch remains in the sidecar. We continue with a Scotiamore right-wing world next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now, 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 24 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Andrew in Springfield, Massachusetts. Jim, it's for you. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, Stephanie. Hey, Bruce. Big fan, long time.
Thank you.
Can I be the official socialist MBA student of the Stephanie Miller Show?
Nice.
Sure. Mm. Nice. Way to go.
Yeah. Oh, man, it's my birthday today, and I was hoping Jim could do Dick Morris and Chris could do Laura Ingraham having sex.
Oh, that's over breakfast.
Too early for that?
All right.
Get that away from me. I don't like that.
All right.
Hold my hand.
That was my son.
All right. Okay. And scene. Thank you. Hope you're happy, Andrew.
Give me those toenails. I want some toenails.
Just inflicted that on America. Carl Frisch, I apologize. I don't.
I can never unhear that.
I know.
Well, happy birthday
Rebecca
to that
just
guy.
Just scolding for not putting me on mute for that moment.
Oops.
All right. And now, Tony Perkins. It's Today's Issues radio show? That's the name of his...
Our World Today.
Yeah. I'm guessing it's Today's...
Well, you know, Tony Perkins does have a lot of issues.
Well, there you go.
I'll say. Uh-huh. Mommy issues.
Mother!
All right, Tony Perkins.
And what the media has done, going back to earlier discussion about the media, is that they have attempted to marginalize anyone who challenges this administration on those principles and that driving ideology. You know, it goes back to what they did to those that, you know, questioned the issue of his birth certificate. Look, I don't know about all that, but I will tell you this, it's a legitimate issue from a standpoint of what the Constitution says. And I think what we've done is we've done great harm to the foundation of our government by marginalizing and attacking anyone who brings up a legitimate issue.
If it were true,
yes,
it would be
it would be a constitutional issue if it weren't anyway, you know,
and
true.
And finally,
And finally, we learn the motivation behind the birther movement. Remember, this is Tony Perkins, the man who rented a list from the KKK's David Duke when he last ran for office.
That's right.
Yep.
This is that guy. And also, you want to know what he's currently campaigning against? He has this little radio clip that goes out to stations all over the country. Mm-hmm. He's currently really angry at the people that make Mike and Ike candy.
Yes.
Because he thinks that they're trying to brainwash kids because they're having a divorce between Mike and Ike, which the company does not label as a gay divorce.
Right.
But he said that this fruity candy is getting a gay divorce.
Yes. It's like we discussed this on the show. It's a gay candy. Clearly, Mike and Ike.
It's fruity.
Right?
Right.
There you go.
Yeah, from the 50s.
Although there are, we've decided there are gayer candies, is all we're saying.
Good and plenty. That's pretty
good. Yeah, right? What's the one?
Sugar
Freshen
Daddy.
Up.
Freshen Up gum.
The gum that squirts in your mouth.
Yeah.
Okay.
You remember that, Carl? No? Okay.
All right. Let's move on.
He's trying to forget.
All right. And we end with Sean Hannity.
It was a late-night embarrassment, and it all aired on national television. On Tuesday night, President Obama sat down with Jimmy Fallon to discuss some of the most pressing issues of our time. Now, he also participated in a performance that featured a band called The Roots. All right, what the media is now reporting is that The Roots infamously played a song called Lying Blank B-Word when Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann appeared on the show.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Shocking.
Yeah. Carl?
Sean Hannity. Jeez Louise. I watched him recently on television for the first time in a long time.
Yes.
And it's remarkable how good his teeth look now that they've all been capped. That's all I have to say about Sean Hannity. He's worthless, and there's nothing that he won't take an opportunity to attack the president.
You know what? You know what's driving him crazy is because the president was actually really funny on Jimmy Fallon. He is cool and funny. Mitt Romney is not. End of story. And it made them insane. It was like, oh, this is the first time a president has ever been on a late night comedy.
No, Nixon. Nixon was on Laugh-In. Remember?
Yes.
Let me try Sean Hannity's medicine on the Republicans. Mitt Romney was recently interviewed by Sean Hannity, or by Steve Doocy, which is Fox News, which is owned by News Corp, which owns Fox Broadcasting Company, which aired an episode of The Simpsons, which aired an episode of The Family Guy that made fun of Sarah Palin.
That's right.
So therefore, Mitt Romney makes fun of Sarah Palin.
There you go. Yeah, but Carl, wasn't it hilarious,
obvious,
the freak out, the right wing freak out over the president being on Jimmy Fallon? And then, you know, you see a clip of George W. Bush on Letterman, and as you said, going all the way back to
George W. Bush was on Leno, not Letterman.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry. No, he was on Letterman reading a top 10 list. I just saw it yesterday. Yeah.
How dare he be charming and poised and funny on television?
Yeah.
How dare he show off the best qualities that he has that Mitt Romney was born without?
Yeah, exactly. All right, Carl Frisch, see you next week, honey. There he goes. All right, we have some delay with Carl Frisch today. All right, Obama campaign national security advisor next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
She's my liberal, hippy-dippy mama.
Yeah, living the dream. Living the dream since we got the big TV show, Chris. I frequently come in and you say...
The White House called.
34 minutes
again.
After the hour. Okay. Spencer Boyer is the Obama campaign national security advisor.
That's right.
Pretty fancy is all I'm saying. Good morning, Spencer. Thanks so much for taking time for us.
Well, thanks, Stephanie. I should say I'm one of several advisors. I don't want to take all of that credit.
That's all right. Listen, your resume before that's pretty fancy as well.
Well, thanks. And I actually think I was on your show before. When I was back at the Center for American Progress, I think I might have joined you once because I have a Stephanie Miller cap in my house, and I don't know how it got there.
Oh, listen, that should be our story, and we should stick to it.
That's right.
Because I don't know either. Well, you were Assistant Deputy Secretary of State as well, right?
Deputy Assistant Secretary of State for European and Eurasian Affairs.
There you go. All right. That's a long card. you have the biggest business card in the world. Spencer, let's talk about the Vice President making a major speech today in New York, right?
Yes. He'll be speaking. speaking at NYU School of Law, my alma mater, so happy to see him there, speaking in about an hour, and I hope to make it there after we get off the phone. And I think the Vice President has a great opportunity today to lay out the administration's very strong record on national security and foreign policy and paint a very stark contrast with Mitt Romney, who I believe has been full of a lot of rhetoric and distortions of the president's record.
Well, it really is, I think, Spencer, hard to argue with the president's string of national security victories. And yet, I remember Mitt Romney said it wasn't worth moving heaven and earth to catch Osama bin Laden.
What? Absolutely. I completely agree.
It's no big
agree.
Deal. I could have done it.
I completely agree that it's very hard to look objectively at the facts of President Obama's time in office and not say that his foreign policy and national security efforts have been a success. So let's just quickly go back 3 years ago when he came into office. The U.S. was mired in two wars, faced terrorist threats at home and abroad. Osama bin Laden was still on the run. Our allies were very frustrated with us after 8 years of President Bush, where a lot of our relationships frayed. I think that was probably one of the tougher landscapes that any president has come into over the last number of decades. And the president really dealt with all of these issues. The president fulfilled a central promise of his campaign to bring home the men and women in uniform in Iraq responsibly. He has done so. They've left Iraq. The Iraqi people have assumed full responsibility for the security of their nation. He took the fight directly to our enemies, decimating al-Qaeda and its leadership. He refocused efforts on finding Osama bin Laden and bringing him to justice, which he did. And as you said, Governor Romney said that it really wasn't worth the effort. I think we would disagree. Far more terrorists have been taken off the battlefield in the last 3 years than in the previous eight.
Kind of, Spencer, kind of everything he ran on, as I recall.
Yeah, but what's he done for me lately?
absolutely everything he ran on, including the fact that he also ended CIA detention and interrogation programs, shut down secret prisons overseas, banned torture. On the issue of rebuilding alliances, I think the president's been very effective in doing that, in building international coalitions to deal with the global threats that we face, including on Iran, where now we have some of the toughest sanctions ever imposed, and I think largely through the president's leadership in the international forum.
Spencer, you mentioned Iraq. I know Marco Rubio just gave a foreign policy speech recently. He didn't even mention Iraq. It's interesting how apparently that didn't really ever happen.
Yeah, I thought that Marco Rubio's speech was, frankly, a disappointment, and I think he laid out a lot of the same distortions that Governor Romney has laid out and didn't offer a lot of alternatives to the criticisms that he levied. But one interesting thing that Senator Rubio did do, he did talk more about leadership and engagement than Governor Romney has, engagement with the world. I think that's one of the weakest points of Governor Romney's foreign policy vision, is that he doesn't seem to fully appreciate the force multiplier effect of having strong alliances and working with international institutions effectively.
But just off the beaten path question, speaking of Rubio, do you feel that he's going to be the vice presidential pick?
I won't even venture a guess there. Certainly he'll be on anybody's short list along with a few others. And he's obviously saying all of the same things that anybody who's looked at as a vice presidential candidate says, that they're not interested and so forth and so on. To me, some of the actions that he's taken recently to get out there on a lot of these issues may indicate that he's testing the waters
right.
A little bit. But who knows?
Spencer, how is the campaign going to talk about Mitt Romney's foreign policy ideas? It almost seems to me like they don't want to talk about foreign policy because the president has had such a string of successes. I mean, he keeps trying to characterize the president's leadership on national security issues as bad, and I don't know based on what. Do you?
I don't, and it is surprising to me that they're picking this as an area to try to go after the president. I think that the way we're looking at it is that he's offering a lot of empty rhetoric and chest thumping, but hasn't really offered a lot of concrete plans to enhance our security. For example, he hasn't said yet what he would really do in Afghanistan besides deferring to generals. President Obama has secured the support of 50 nations for his timeline for handing over responsibility to Afghans, so I think Romney needs to explain how he would change that plan if he would. On Iran, Romney advocated for crippling sanctions and for keeping a military option on the table. These are all things that the president has done, so a lot of times when he attacks the president, it's either he doesn't put forward his own ideas or he's attacking him for something that I think would leave us with our heads, scratching our heads a bit.
Spencer, I have no idea if you saw this in the week. The LA Times this past weekend, Doyle McManus wrote a piece called A Smaller, Smarter Military, because you talk about the generals and the military, and of course the Republicans always default to this, well, I would listen to the generals on the ground, I'd listen to the generals on the ground, and basically the generals are behind the president on, talking about shrinking the defense
budget.
Well,
not those generals.
Right?
No, I absolutely. I think that everybody is for trying to find ways to have a smart, capable military that's able to meet 21st century threats. And I think that Governor Romney, if you look at some of his past statements, he once said that the president is not a foreign policy expert and that he would rely on other experts and defer to his lawyers on critical foreign policy issues. But, on a lot of these issues where he's putting out very heated rhetoric, he needs to come forward and take principled stands.
This piece is saying, the Army is slated to shrink by 80,000 troops, more than any other service, but Odierno, the general, points out the Army also grew by more than any other branch during the last decade, so the cuts would still leave the Army slightly larger than it was in 2001. He said, we're now bringing our end strength back to where I think it needs to be. I feel comfortable with that. And yet, of course, the Republicans are going to, are casting this as disastrous and weakening our military. And, once again, the generals are saying the opposite. So, which is it? Do you listen to the generals or not?
That's a great question. I think it's indicative of how Governor Romney has been very backwards looking in terms of his foreign policy vision. And first of all, again, just putting out a lot of very empty rhetoric of just listening to generals and so forth. But sometimes, as you're mentioning, the generals are saying things that are contrary to what he's saying. Also, in other specific areas, he makes comments that sound as though they're coming out of the Cold War. He said recently that Russia is our number one geopolitical foe,
right.
Which is really quite puzzling and demonstrated, in my opinion, a really breathtaking lack of understanding of the way the world works today, given all of the ways that we do work with Russia and the benefits of the reset that we had with Russia for U.S. interests.
Yeah, wow, it's 1983 again.
Yeah.
And I think one perfect example before you go, Spencer, is don't ask, don't tell. We had all of this fear-mongering on the right of the disastrous consequences it was going to have. The president said, no, it's not. And now you don't hear an apology from anybody,
nope.
John McCain or anybody that was, doing all this fear-mongering about it, right?
Absolutely. I think the same thing can be said with the fear-mongering relating to our mission in Libya. Mitt Romney flip-flopped on removing Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi, first attacking the president for calling for his removal and then celebrating it as Libyan rebels took Tripoli, with the help of U.S. and allied forces. So, I think that he is often looking for opportunities of the week to try to attack the president, not putting forth the kinds of ideas he needs to, very serious, serious ideas on serious issues for how he would address them, and I would encourage him to do so.
Well, that the Libya incident was notable because I don't think Mitt Romney has ever flip-flopped before, so that was quite a shocking story. Spencer Boyer is the Obama campaign national security advisor. Thank you so much, Spencer. Please come on again.
Well, thanks so much.
All right. There he goes.
Hooray.
Hooray.
He's going to put on his Stephanie Miller cap and go to the vice president's speech.
Listen,
that's a big
lots of
deal.
People have Stephanie Miller hats. They don't know how they got them.
Really? Was there a time when you kept them as lovely parting gifts?
I have nothing more to say about that. I have no idea how
Stephanie
Spencer
Miller
got that.
Panties floating around?
What? I don't wear panties. Brenda in Tonawanda, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Brenda.
Hi.
Hi, go ahead.
I was just thinking, poor Romney, you know, since he's so concerned about the deficit, that he can live off his money without working, obviously, with his most recent tax return, the only one he put out. Why doesn't he offer to, if elected, give up his presidential salary?
Yeah, there you go. Gee, that's something he hadn't thought of. Yeah, I love this piece. Check it out if you can. Well, we can post this.
Okay.
A smaller, smarter military. It's just another example on, issue after issue. The president, right, handsome, romantic, funnier, better singer.
Handsome, romantic.
Easy, handsome, romantic, and athletic. Wow. President Obama called a halt to the decades-long rise in defense spending that began after September 11th, has proposed shrinking the Army and Marine Corps by about 14%. And so, as I was saying to Spencer, the Republicans and Mitt Romney freaking out, it'll be disastrous, it'll jeopardize American troops, and here we go again. The military brass literally has stood behind Obama when he announced it, literally, behind him. There's been no audible dissent from, this is the thing, they go, he's not listening to the generals.
The generals on the ground. Not those generals, not on that ground.
No. General Ray
Odierno
of the Army said he accepts the need for a cap on spending growth. It's just the Republicans' priorities.
Shut up! Why are you listening to the generals on the ground?
In all the learning I've done since I was a cadet at West Point, he said, one of the things I found is the underpinning of any strong society is its economic capability and its political system. So that's part of security, is what his point is. It's essential we do play a part in helping get our budget right to get our economy moving. So here's a general saying he accepts that, one of the cuts should be defense.
Mm-hmm.
And, hello, not Medicare and Social Security and all the same stuff that Republicans always want to go after. So anyway, when they do this fear-mongering, as I was saying, it's going to be the same. The Army will still be slightly larger. It's because we had such an increase in troops because of the stupid Iraq war. He said one of the chief lessons he learned during three combat tours is that the best-equipped Army in the world can still lose a war if it doesn't understand the people it's fighting. Mm-hmm. The overwhelming force taking many prisoners style of campaign didn't lead to peace and democracy. Instead, it helped stir up the insurgency against U.S. forces in Iraq. This is what there's a guy big enough to admit he was wrong. First of all,
right.
He initially defended his muscular strategy, but said he decided on reflection he was wrong, and that a more sophisticated form of counterinsurgency aimed at winning Iraqis' trust and allegiance would have been a better approach. So, he may be remembered primarily for something less dramatic, but more important, using the lessons of Iraq and Afghanistan to create a smaller but smarter force. Thank you.
I just posted that on your Facebook page.
But that's what the president ran on.
Why isn't he listening to the generals on the ground? Oh, he is? Why is he listening to the generals on the ground?
Remember, he said a tough but a smart foreign policy, right? And that's exactly what he's done. All right, 47 minutes after the hour.
Some of
the
lot. Big deal. I could have done that.
Yeah. Just like he said, he would build the Keystone Pipeline himself. Because
mm-hmm.
He's so used to hard manual labor, yeah. Mitt Romney.
Those.
Let me get a wrench. I'll just do it myself.
What's a wrench?
Oh, mittens. 47
He's
minutes.
Never had a callus on his hand in his
anyone,
life.
Explain to me this wrench business.
Yeah. He has girl hands.
Yeah.
All right. 48 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Coming up after this commercial, I will be talking even louder.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah.
So how much is in Scrooge McDuck's vault?
What? Huh? They've estimated that about $31.2 billion would need to be in Scrooge McDuck's vault for him to swim through the gold coins like he does.
And you were discussing that for what reason?
Because someone's actually calculated how much money there would have to be in his vault.
And other wasting time news.
Yeah.
All right. We were just talking to the Obama campaign national security advisor who was talking about Joe Biden's speech. That's the perfect headline for this campaign cycle. Biden, Bin Laden dead, GM alive.
Yep.
Game over, man! Mm-hmm. Game over! 1-800.
So, shut up.
F12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere.
Could have done that.
Oh, by the way, speaking of military stuff, that Marine Corps sergeant that put the anti-Obama Facebook page up.
You're fired.
Yeah, check this out, bodyguard guy, you're fired. As Sarah Palin would say.
Yep.
Looks like the Marine Corps case against Sergeant Gary Stein finally over. The 9-year veteran faced dismissal for creating a Facebook page called Armed Forces Tea Party, which hosted anti-Obama images like the one showing the president's face superimposed on a jackass. The Marines, I believe it's
You're fired.
Less than honorable discharge. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. Yeah. Yeah, guess what? You don't get to jet against about the commander-in-chief. That's which is why, by the way, what's his name? Nuge. Ted Nugent.
Right.
Is not going to be playing at Fort Knox, because guess what? You don't get to threaten the commander-in-chief.
They did say it's okay for him to do it, but just not as a member of the armed forces. He can't do it as a representative of the armed forces.
Yes. Well, that's the thing. That's why First Amendment doesn't cover it. It's, you know, okay. Dale in Albany, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dale.
Hey, Stephanie. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
All right. Love your show.
Thank you.
Question I have, just to remain cautiously optimistic about the president winning re-election, but when he does win re-election, I just want to know, or rather your opinion, where do you think this Congress is going to go as far as are they still going to obstruct or are they going to be forced to have to work with the president? And I'll take your answer on the air.
Oh, all right. Off the air? On the air. Off the air? Oh, off the air. Thank you.
He'll listen on the air
no
for your answer off the air.
No further questions.
And he'll honor your offer.
Why do people call me sound like they're having a press conference? I don't know. I call you? I don't know. Okay. Yeah, I'm maybe, you know me, happy, clappy, liberal, forever hopeful, but I'm hoping that we will get him a Congress he can work with.
Yeah, exactly.
Because, you know.
It could happen.
Yeah, as our friend Judy Tenuta says.
And Steve Israel said yesterday, we're in shooting distance of getting the House back.
Yeah, good. So, and Boehner said that there's a 1-in-3 chance he could be at the tavern. Okay, Kathy in Austin, Texas. Hi, Kathy. Welcome. Hello, Kathy. Kathy going once, going twice. All right. She was done with her press conference. I didn't get to her in time. All right. Speaking of more military news, military ship campaign donations from Ron Paul to Obama in March.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Interesting.
It's almost like the military's not for unnecessary war either. Why would that affect them?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Crazy, but... Yeah, the Army Times reported in February anti-war Republican presidential candidate Ron Paul was at the time by far getting the most campaign contributions from members of the United States military. I used to love when he would mention that at debates.
Yeah.
You know, I get more money.
Yeah, I get more money from the military than any of these clowns are here.
Yeah. Hey. Meanwhile, Republican heads explode.
And then they all
the
just
country.
Gave him that death stare and ignored him and then just kept talking. I think we should cut off all aid, even to Israel.
They kind of did that to everything Ron Paul said. Gave him the death stare and then ignored him.
Yeah. Well, except when Michelle Bachmann was still in, and then that would activate the Rapture Bot 2000. Michelle. Anderson! Oh, Jehovah God. Oh, dear God, Jehovah God, the end is near. Please don't let Ron Paul it up, please.
Lord, the day is at hand. We are in the last days. You are Jehovah God.
She is like the Rapture Bot, because didn't her eyes just like snap open?
Yeah.
Cut off aid to Israel.
Okay. Oh, no, you didn't.
Yeah. But now that Paul's campaign is all but over, apparently the military's donation trend beginning to shift toward Obama. Huh, not Romney. Huh. It's funny that. He's such a military expert. Here's what Romney's campaign did do. They spent $126,000 per delegate. How's about that? He spent over $76 million to win the Republican primary, more than the combined spending of all three of his main opponents. That breaks down to $126,000 per. And if you put in the super PAC that also supports Romney, the total jumps to $122 million and breaks down to $200,000 per delegate.
Or as I call it, lunch money.
That's an appealing candidate. Wowee. And here's a record he maybe didn't want to set. He set a record with at least two of Tuesday's primaries. He won Delaware 56% with Pennsylvania with 58%. That marks the first time a presumptive GOP nominee has failed to reach the 60% mark in a contest conducted after his last major challenger has exited the race. The pollster said never has a presumptive nominee won a primary contest with such a low level of support at this stage of the race, with his chief challenger no longer actively campaigning.
Wow.
Oh, mittens. No. 58 minutes after the hour. Senator Jeff Merkley next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm walking on the
the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12. The phone number, toll-free from anywhere, stephaniemiller.com, the website, or sexyliberal.com. Thank you for wearing the T-shirt today. Thank you. Sexyliberal.com for all the upcoming shows. Oh, there's a Mother's Day special going for the May 12th in Minneapolis, because that's Mother's Day weekend.
Aha! Uh-huh.
The big Aisha Tyler, John Fugelsang, and I, Sexy Liberal Show,
yes.
at the State Theater. Check it out. Get tickets. Going fast.
Noted mothers, Stephanie Miller and Aisha Tyler will be there.
We have mothers. Okay. All right. So we have lots to get to on the big show. Representative Joe Courtney coming up, and Ron Reagan, his book is out in paperback about his dad. All right. So Senator Jeff Merkley joins us now from the great state of Oregon. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning, Stephanie. It's great to be with you.
We were just up in Portland doing the Sexy Liberal Show. Beautiful, beautiful.
Oh, it's a wonderful, wonderful city. I'm surprised you're able to leave.
Yeah.
I know.
You know, people come and they stay.
Yeah, if I've heard that. Speaking of Oregon, you know, you did an important amendment, because I think people don't realize how important the post office is in a lot of areas. You would have an amendment to save rural post offices, right?
Yes, and I'm so glad that we got it passed the day before yesterday, and it's fully in the bill. Here's the thing. The post office wants to just say, if you don't sell enough stamps, we're going to shut you down. And these rural post offices, they are the heart of their communities. Mm-hmm. They service the small businesses who they may be taking orders through the internet, but they've got to ship their products through the post office. FedEx doesn't serve the small towns. UPS doesn't serve the small towns. Seniors are getting their medications. You shut down a small rural post office, it not only do you destroy the community, it makes no economic sense to say 300 families, send them round trip every day, 50 miles, makes no sense. Waste of time, waste of gas. Post offices are very efficient, and we saved them.
So, yeah, I mean, Senator, I was just going to say, because, you know, we hear so much rhetoric from the right about small business, about how, you know, the president's hurting small business this way or that way. And, you know, here you go, where this is like an actual thing that's going to help actual small businesses, right?
You know, you're so right. I couldn't get a single Republican co-sponsor on this bill, and it was so frustrating. And I kept saying, you know, all the conversation about small business, all the conversation about efficiency, this is efficiency. This is small towns. This is rural America. This is all the things you all talk about. And I couldn't get a single member across the aisle to put their name on the bill.
Well, they're too busy preserving tax cuts for small businesses like, you know, ExxonMobil and the other places that they consider small businesses.
The 1% small businesses.
Yeah, exactly. Let's talk about also the student loans. Obviously, a lot of talk about that. The president's, that looks like the Republicans finally, are going to cave on that, aren't they?
Well, not necessarily. They have said they support the concept, but they want to battle over where the funds come from. And right now they're talking about taking it out of preventative health care, which would be absolutely the wrong place to take it from. The House Democrats have proposed basically using shutting down the oil loopholes in order to fund it, which makes a lot of sense. These are antiquated loopholes, special interest loopholes that do nothing but put more money in the already big bank accounts of the big five. So the fight is yet to be fully waged.
The president had this to say yesterday about the student loan.
These guys don't get it. This is the economy. This is about your future. If you do well, the economy does well.
Yeah, I mean, because the Republicans are saying, oh well, the main problem is the economy. Why is he working on this? And that seems like basic math. If you double students, interest rates, I mean, it's just not good for the economy.
Look, we are already becoming the generation of parents whose kids are getting less education than we got because they can't afford the schools. They can't afford the tuition. And they can't save up the money with the service jobs that we're able to get. So doubling the interest rate on student loans, how many folks are going to not be able to continue in their college education as a result, or be so burdened afterwards that they're just weighted down and unable to fully participate in the economy? It's a huge factor, and it goes this broader story, the fact that we are spending way too much money overseas and not enough on education and not enough on infrastructure.
John Boehner had this to say.
Today I'm pleased to announce that on Friday the House will vote on a bill to extend the current interest rate on federal student loans for 1 year. We will pay for this by taking money from one of the slush funds in the president's health care law.
There it is. Preventative health care.
Yep, there it is.
Tear it down. You know, what happened to the ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure?
Yeah.
I mean, Americans really get that. And we'd all like to have our diseases caught early, and it saves money in the health care system, and it improves our quality of life, and it's everything about being smart on health care, and they want to tear it down.
Yeah. I mean, even the Violence Against Women Act, I mean, is there nothing that is just a no-brainer that you should be for?
You know, the Violence Against Women Act is something that passed basically virtually unanimously. In fact, I think it was unanimous in 2000. I think it was unanimous in 2005 when it was reauthorized. And suddenly, with this Republican war on women, it is being argued about that we shouldn't reauthorize these key grant programs that keep victims safe and hold perpetrators accountable. Again, this kind of falls into that category of public safety and fairness that was held broadly across the political spectrum previously.
Yeah, well, I mean, nothing seems to be like it was previously, you know.
Well, yeah.
I mean, we're having Ron Reagan on next hour, and it's not like, you know, it's just a couple of us that are saying this is just not, it's not only not Reagan's party anymore, it's not even George Bush's party anymore. Mitt Romney has had to go so far to the right in this primary, hasn't he?
Well, he went into territory. I don't think he even begins to understand how far he went into that territory. It contributes to a deep suspicion about who he is, because it's like a chameleon with completely different viewpoints depending on when you listen to him in the past.
Yes, it's like looking at a confusing prism. Senator, thanks so much for really important amendments that you've been working on and for taking time for us this morning. We appreciate it.
You're so welcome.
Thank you. Senator Merkley, great state of Oregon.
Yeah.
Yay.
The beautiful state of Oregon.
Yay.
General Motors for the bitch had it coming. Because she runs the tavern.
Okay. Stephanie Miller Show would like to apologize. There is no Bitch Had It Coming Act. That was a little...
I'm sure the Republicans would...
Improvisation by...
Vote for it if it came up.
Yeah. Otherwise, as the Jodie Foster bent over a pinball machine act. What?
Stephanie Miller Show would just to apologize again.
Pinball machines everywhere. To pinball
the existence of both of these carbon-based life forms that I must...
What? I'm referencing an Academy Award-winning film.
Yes.
All right, here's the other...
the cultural milestone.
Yes!
Here's the other Mitt Romney not-so-fun fact. Not only did he set a record with record low... He only won Delaware... Really, it's true. There's no one else in the race. And he didn't get the 60%.
Wow.
And the fun fact I forgot to... is also record low turnout. So of the very few people that are actually even voting...
So how's that momentum going?
Yeah, how's the momentum going? Yeah, there is nobody running, and he can't even get to 60%. I mean, really. All right, Politico has a piece on Mitt Romney's post-primary plan.
Ooh.
Let's find out what the plan is. Now what's the plan? Mitt Romney has landed on a new strategy to keep him in the headlines, getting in President Obama's face at every opportunity. Oh, Mittens, you're so butch.
So it's basically his old plan with more crunch berries.
Yes, exactly.
Yes. Okay.
Extra, yes. Let's see. The campaign has asked some surrogates to reprise their roles bird-dogging the Obama campaign events. Though the scale and security of presidential rallies makes it unlikely Romney aides and supporters who so tortured Santorum and Gingrich will be as effective in distracting the president. He's the president. God's sakes. The Romney campaign and Ann Romney in particular have already become courting women voters. Oh, and she's doing nicely on that already. What do I... But that was kind of ill-phrased yesterday when she said, I love the fact that some women don't have a choice and they have to work. Some mothers. Not me. You.
Wow.
She may suddenly be available for all those dressage events overseas.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. All right, never mind. Just don't. It's okay.
You know, just don't talk.
Romney's state chair in Wisconsin said that he doesn't know whether he'll be back there to stump for Governor Walker, who he just called a hero. Did you see that yesterday? Mitt Romney said Scott Walker's a hero.
To whom?
Mm.
For
yeah,
what?
That takes a hero to... Yeah. Okay. Surrogates on a Tuesday morning conference call, I love this, with reporters. They were talking about... It was the outreach to the kids, to the young folk, for the young vote. They were unable to cite anything in Romney's policy platform aimed specifically at young voters beyond Colorado Senator Hank Brown suggesting the 65-year-old Romney will appeal because he is, quote, a younger, more dynamic Republican candidate than past GOP nominees.
Okay.
That is spectacular. He's not as decrepit as John McCain.
Talk about old wine and new bottles.
Wow, that's it? That's all you got for the kids? Okay.
Huh. Romney, his hair isn't completely gray.
Right.
There's that. As you know. There's that.
How about there's that yes we can enthusiasm. Romney also needs to shore up support among, well, I was just going to say everybody, but in this case in the story, Hispanic voters as well.
Oh, good luck with that.
Yes. Who he may have alienated during the primary, do you think?
Mm-hmm.
Wonder if that's how you get behind 20 points.
I can't talk to you people. I'm running for office for Pete's sake.
I might get brown on me.
He seriously took the most anti-immigrant platform of anybody in the Republican primary. He's opposed to the Dream Act, as he said. He said that the Arizona law should be the model for the country.
Wow.
A recent Hispanic roundtable in Arizona and the Rubio events illustrated Romney's difficulties with Hispanics from his...
Difficulties.
4K.
¿Dónde está los Hispanics? From his disembrace of Arizona's legal immigration law to the daylight between his proposals and Marco Rubio's. Yeah, it's just he's awkward. He's awkward with every other human.
I'm the most awkward man in the world.
Except, he's awkward with everybody except for rich white men.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that he's got locked down.
There you go.
Okay. 17 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number up the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Summer got into the helium again.
23 minutes after the hour.
It's a little high pitch for Prince.
Oh, yeah.
Even for Prince.
Even for Prince, it's high pitch. Hey, knock it off.
I'm sorry. Oh, did I step on you again? I'm sorry. 1-800.
He is, what, 4'3 or something like that?
Yes, like stepping on a teacup poodle. Yikes, sorry. 23 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12. The number, Karen in Illinois. Hey, Karen.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
I'm a little worried about this election. I really want Obama to win. But, you know, the Republicans did steal 2000 and 2004.
Yep.
What are we going to do if Romney gets elected?
Yeah, well, you know, Karen, I think your fears are not misplaced in that, you know, in state after state. The main thing they've been working on is trying to get less people able to vote with these ridiculous voter ID laws and all that. And so, I think all you can try to do is combat that state to state. Because, you know, if you're so confident in your candidate, and who wouldn't be confident in a mittens?
Yeah.
Then, you know, why would you need to make sure so many people can't vote?
It's not who votes, it's who counts the votes.
Yes.
There you go.
By the by, you can email us all at thestephaniemiller.com. As Rob did and said, I forgot this. Steph, the other day I heard a caller say Zimmerman told the Martin family he didn't know Trayvon was so young. But if you go to YouTube and listen to all the 911 operator calls he made, he clearly, the operator asked him what age the subject was, and Zimmerman said he looks like he's in his late teens.
Yep. Zimmerman was lying.
Lying?
I'm shocked.
I believe he might have been. Chris, this is for you.
Oh, what? Hi, huh?
Angela in Phoenix. Because I asked, that's the Snoopy current microphone.
That's what they call the PZM mic.
And I asked if that's a microphone used in an episiotomy, and you said no.
No.
PZM is an acronym for pressure zone microphone and generally refers to a boundary microphone. The PZM can be used as a piano mic or on hockey boards for body check sound effects.
Well then.
Wow. We frequently smash into each other getting to the same joke, and there you go. There you go. Thank you. It is commonly used to record full room sound by being mounted on a wall. I'll be glad to replace Chris. Please and thank you. Angela and Phoenix. Oh, all right, Angela.
Well then.
That's that microphone that I just found out is on during the commercial breaks. Whoops. Okay.
That you just found out. Yes.
Uh-huh. Whoops.
All right.
All right. Sid in Santa Rosa says, Staff, I just got tickets for my BFF and I sitting in the middle somewhere in the Paramount Theater, Seattle. kids, you have to hurry on Sexy Liberal. Because as we all know, Seattle bitches be crazy.
And
these shows are selling out like months in advance. Love You on TV seems like you're supporting and encouraging the outing of a lot of poor little blue dots and burning hot a-hole red zones. We'll be singing happy birthday to you and finding some Secret Service men to seduce for $30. Sid and her friend Joanna in San Diego coming to Seattle. And
after sold-out performances in 2011, the Emerald City is about to experience a new dose of hilarity in 2012.
Welcome back, Seattle.
The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Tour returns to Seattle.
No, I've never been the kind of going for that sort of self-congratulatory hoopla.
September 29, 2012, Seattle welcomes the return of Stephanie Miller.
The greatest radio talk show host ever.
John Fugelsang and Hal Sparks, this time to the plush and historic Paramount Theater, which has hosted live performances by Ella Fitzgerald and the Marx Brothers. Welcome Stephanie Miller.
I want you to meet a very charming lady.
And it's about time.
And her special brand of sexy liberal comedy. Tickets are available by calling 1-877-STG-4TIX. That's 1-877-784-4849. Saturday, September 29th at 8 p.m.
What a festive day. This is
the Sexy Liberal Show at the historic Paramount Theater in Seattle.
Good night, Seattle. We love you.
Good night.
And I hear you get so horny when you're in Seattle.
Yes, indeed. All right, sexyliberal.com, sexyliberal on Facebook. We've got what's the haps? Oh, Minneapolis in May, Boston in June, L.A. in.
Did you just say what's the haps?
L.A. in July, Columbus in August, and Seattle in September.
What's
so there.
The haps?
Yeah, whatever.
Okay.
The kids are saying.
The kids in 1954.
Yeah. As they're playing their bongos.
Sharon in Portland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Sharon.
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
I have a quick question, which I hope you can look into if you don't know the answer, like I don't. I have a really vivid memory burnt into my mind of a guy on TV in the 2008 election. He was a computer hacker, and he hacked into a voting machine in about less than a minute.
Mm-hmm.
What, if anything, is the update on what machines are going to be used and, you know, what
can no one's talking about that.
Sharon, I know.
They're pretending.
Jim, who is it? I know who you're talking about. It was a big story into a D-Bowl machine, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Somebody we've had on. I forget. Yeah, but that's
Brad Friedman was.
No, it was a computer expert. But
okay.
Yeah, no.
Name
escapes
me.
There's been a lot of really troubling stuff with machines, and she's right. I don't know the answer to.
And you may not have noticed that even though we have this sort of ink dot thing, it's going into an ESNS scanner now.
Yeah,
so
it's all being scanned. It's not being counted by hand.
It's not going into a box anymore.
Yeah. Well, if Mitt Romney suddenly becomes really overwhelmingly popular, that would be somewhat suspect, won't it?
Yeah.
All right. Representative Joe Courtney of the great state of Connecticut joins us next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Oh, blast you and your estrogenical treachery!
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. I apologize for my estrogenical treachery. This hour, brought to you by SolarWorld. I've been making solar panels right here in America since 1975. Go to SolarWorld.com to find out more about the leader in American solar.
Sweet.
This hour will be in slow motion.
I have my eye doctor appointment Monday to see, because I'm having floaters. To see if I'm having a brain-related event of some.
That's more likely portions of your retina. Nerve detaching.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, like a detached retina?
It comes with age.
Oh, perfect. Thanks.
Pretty soon all you're going to be seeing is floaters.
It'd be like your own personal Macy's Day Parade.
Yeah. That would be awesome.
It'd be like
Rose Parade.
Ticker tape parade for you every day.
Oh, look at all the floaties.
It's the Rose Bowl every day.
My life gets a little tiny bit sadder every day. Okay.
I'm getting a lot more of them, too.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. Good. Thanks for that. Thanks for your support. All right. We have lots to get to on the big show. Representative Joe Courtney. Oh, he's not with us yet. He will be with us
after the top of the hour.
Oh, I got that wrong. That's. I was just doing that as a tease.
Yeah,
Representative
sure.
I'm sorry, I can't see.
Because of the floaters. They're not in the way.
And coming up...
Oh, is that now? Oh, it's
what is that?
Okay.
Is that a smudge or a word?
All right.
Oh, bless your heart.
Oh, bless my heart. All right. Richard in Texas has a crush on Jackie Schechner. Well, you know.
Who doesn't?
Right.
She's hot.
Hi, Richard in Texas.
Hi there. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I just wanted to make a compliment to y'all that evidently when People Magazine voted Beyoncé as the most beautiful woman in the world,
yes,
evidently they have never seen you or Jackie Schechner before.
Oh, Richard, you scamp. Thank you for that.
Yeah, you're welcome.
All right. I think he's looking for a little hot girl on girl. Okay. She's a newswoman, for God's sakes.
Serious newswoman.
Come on now. All right, Charles in Maryland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah, thank you. Hey, you people are great. I love this show.
Thank you.
Hey, why don't the liberals just come out and tell the truth about the economy? The reason the economy is bad, the Republicans have sabotaged it.
Yep.
They blocked everything in the Senate, and the Congress won't even bring up the good bills.
Yeah.
Ones that they agree with.
Right.
Because they don't want to give Obama a single victory.
Yeah. Well, Mitch McConnell failed that. That's the part you're not supposed to say.
President, and I will do everything in my power to make sure nothing gets done that helps American people in any way.
Oh, and nonetheless,
I think I might have said too much.
Nonetheless, they're still turning on the. On Mitch McConnell, Turtle Soup is the headline. Vocal conservatives blame Mitch McConnell. How about this? Behind every Tea Party defeat in the Senate, Mitch McConnell, at least according, is to blame. At least according to a small but vocal band of conservatives.
But I'm a quisling.
Led by RedState.com's Eric Erickson.
The guy so douchey they named him twice?
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Some in the Republican Party's conservative wing have blamed McConnell for just about everything they view as wrong with Washington, D.C. Erickson said he's not willing to engage in the fight. He's the consummate Washington guy. I've said McConnell lost his testicles and is now spreading a cancer of capitulation throughout the Senate Republican conference. We need to send Mitch some balls. That's what Eric Erickson wrote.
Can you say that on the air?
Yeah, apparently. I'm going to tip him on his back and leave him there.
Our genitalia are internal.
Yes. Perhaps he's unaware that...
We keep our junk inside the shell whenever possible.
Exactly, Eric. That's not fair. Everyone knows it's not external.
Yeah.
Loretta in St. Petersburg, Florida. Hi, Loretta. Welcome.
Hi there.
Hi,
The people that are calling in saying they're worried about the election, there's one easy thing they can do. They can Google Organizing for America, and then they can volunteer and help out. Right now, we're making phone calls, getting people to come and help do voter registration, because there are a lot of people that need to update their voter registration.
Right.
Stuff like that, and it can be done.
Yeah, and Loretta, that's what I always encourage, too, is don't, let that get you discouraged, because a lot of times they put stuff out like that to go, oh, they're going to steal it anyway, don't bother to vote. Bother to vote.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right, there you go. Thank you.
Yeah, vote in some overwhelming numbers so that they can't even steal it.
Yeah, there you go. Christian in Brooklyn has floater sympathy for me. Okay, people are having sympathy floaters for me this morning.
God.
Hi, Christian.
Hey, Steph. This is Christian. Saw you guys at Sexy Liberal in Durham back at the beginning of the tour and loved it.
Awesome.
I just wanted to let you know that I got floaters when I was 19 years old.
Oh.
And I was panicked that I was going blind. And my mother took me to like three ophthalmologists and New York Eye and Ear Infirmary to calm my slightly high-strung, neurotic side.
Yes.
I feel your pain, Christian.
Yes.
But you've done good, Mama. You know, you're getting a little later in life. You'll be okay.
What did you do for them?
You know what? What you do is you follow up with your ophthalmologist just to make sure there is no sort of retinal detachment, because it can be a symptom, but often it's just the fact that the fluid in your eye is broken down a bit, and so you see some of the cells floating in the vitreous humor.
Yeah.
The vitreous humor.
Nothing humorous about the vitreous humor.
So normally it's totally fine, and you're going to probably be totally fine.
But there's nothing you can do about it? You just have to continue to have the ticker tape parade in your eye?
Just have a sense of vitreous humor about it.
You do have to have a sense of vitreous humor about it. But actually what happens is you just get used to them and you don't even notice them anymore.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Yeah. Well, at least I can see less of the mooks, so that's good.
Yeah, that'll help. But I'd want to see more of Chris.
All right. Oh, well, hello
Hi,
now.
Christian.
Well, hello now. All right. Let's go to floaters again. Mike in Tucson.
Of course. You opened up the floodgates. Look at that.
The victory.
Call 1-800-I'm-old.com. Hello. Hi, Mike.
Hi. You're gorgeous. You're smart, and I love you.
Thank you.
I've had them in both eyes.
Really?
Yeah. We're a few months apart. They start off bad. They go away. It's the I don't know what the guy before me was saying, but I was told by my ophthalmologist that it's the vitreous starts to contract with age and starts pulling little pieces of the retinal off, but nothing bad.
Oh, that sounds fine. Okay, great.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah, sure.
All right.
Yeah,
little pieces of
retinal. Yeah, maybe it comes with the change. You just dry out. All of your liquid just
in
just
addition
gets
to my in addition to my eggs coming out sounding like that.
Your vitreous.
My eyes are going to like fall out of the socket eventually. And
eyes are going to calcify and fall out.
And fall out.
Yes, you've lost your sense of vitreous humor.
Yeah, that was my favorite. People asked me that, what's your favorite phone call ever? Like, you can remember in 25 years of radio. But you're right, that guy.
Yeah, I
got it. He said, hi, Stephanie, good morning. Both of my eyes have calcified and been removed from my head.
Oh, that's right.
Is that what's in my future? Seriously?
Yes.
So then what, we'll prop me up and put glasses on me with the eyes?
No, but you'll be like a Tom and Jerry cartoon. Your eyes will close. We'll just paint eyeballs on the outside of your eyelids.
Maybe with the comedy ones on the springs.
Yeah, there you go.
That'll be great.
Or pinwheels. You know,
perfect. Like, just when I get a TV show, great.
Glass eyes with pinwheels in them so you can hypnotize people.
Hello, current. Both of my eyeballs have calcified and been removed from my head. Will that affect my television deal? Hello?
Well, your show prep will have to be in Braille.
Al, are you there? Okay. Buddy in Columbus, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, buddy.
Hey, Mama, two things. First, without anything, is our president has major game.
Major what, honey?
Game.
He has major game. That thing with Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Barackness monster, the POTUS with the mostest.
Yeah, yeah. That's why that's making them crazy, because it was so good and they know it. I mean, like, what are they talking about? Every president's gone on late night comedy shows.
I know, but starting with the Al Green and everything, he's just screwing with them.
But he's the man.
Mama, on the subject on voter machine, I've worked on this for years. We've gotten much, much better at stopping it. If people are concerned, volunteer, get a hold of the party, and go do the voter protection work. In a nutshell, what we do is we count the heads in, we count the checks on the wall, and we look at the votes at the end of the day. We can catch them.
Good.
But if people are concerned about it, get a hold of the party, the state party, say you want to do voter protection work, and we got work for you.
Yep, exactly. Go be a poll watcher.
That's right. Did you see what Obama said about his singing?
No. Oh, what?
Obama said, "Yeah, I wasn't worried about hitting that high note in the Al Green song. I can sing."
I got game.
Yeah.
Come on, bring it, Mitt.
I know I can do it.
Can we have a sing-off in one of the debates?
I hope it encourages Mitt to try to keep up with Obama, try to be funny and entertaining.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Falling flat on his face.
Yeah, I was just going to say that's the other good thing we have going for us. I don't know if you know this, but Mitt Romney appears to be the candidate on the other side.
What do we have to show for 3.5 years of President Obama?
Well,
is it easier to make ends meet?
Well, let's see. We have, I think we posted this on our site, top 50 Obama accomplishments.
Mm-hmm.
Which is actually quite a bit against a really unprecedented obstruction.
Yep.
You might want to check it out, Mitt. It's a lot of stuff, actually. Okay, mittens.
This America is fundamentally fair.
For you and
we
your friends.
We will stop the unfairness of urban children being denied access to the good schools of their choice.
Vouchers.
We will stop the unfairness of politicians giving taxpayer money to their friends' businesses.
Huh? Is that really a problem?
We will stop the unfairness of requiring union workers to contribute to politicians not of their choosing.
Union bashing. There we go.
Yep.
Vouchers, union bashing. Check. Okay. All right.
Here, little girl. Here's a $50 voucher. Good luck.
Good luck.
Yeah. Cauterize your wound with that.
Good luck. And if you should become injured, here's a Paul Ryan voucher to put on your gushing head wound.
If you don't get into a good school, blame yourself.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, Newty, no, no.
I think it's pretty clear that Governor Romney is ultimately going to be the nominee, and we're going to do everything we can to make sure that he is, in fact, effective, and that we as a team are effective both in winning this fall and then, frankly, in governing.
Frankly. What do you mean we, Kemosabe?
Yeah, exactly.
By the way,
You know.
Did you see Texas Governor Rick Perry endorsed? That's not surprising because their relationship is so warm. See, I told you it would end up like Brokeback Mountain. That one debate was like the angry gay sex scene in the tent. And now, see, I can't wait to see that because that has to be the most, like, of all the non-endorsement endorsements we've seen, that one's going to be the most grudging, I think.
Yeah.
Right. I want to...
There's going to have to be some spit
involved.
I want to
say three things that are great about Mitt Romney.
Let's see, there's...
Oops. Okay, 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party, 1-800-STEP-12.
Yo, Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Chris in Yankton writes, Steph, Ann Romney merits a don't speak drop, doesn't she? Yes, they may not want her to speak for the women's vote after she said, I love it that some working mothers don't have a choice and have to work. I think it's precious.
No, don't speak. Don't speak. Don't speak. No. Silence. Silence. Don't speak.
And Chris says, and Mittens would build the Keystone Pipeline himself with his soft, dove-like hands. Hands have never known work unless you count opening a particularly stubborn bottle of Bordeaux as work. Sure you would, Mittens. Sure you would.
Dove-like hands.
He does. I think he has dove-like.
Yeah.
Moisturized rich man hands. Okay. Oh, hang on. You know, because I'm so busy, I don't have time to actually, you know, go to the doctor. Thank God there's an ophthalmologist on the line. Dr. Mike on line 5 here. Hi, Dr. Mike in Seattle.
Hi there.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm an ophthalmologist, and I heard you have floaters.
I have floaters.
I want to be the official ophthalmologist of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Okay. Yes.
Boy, howdy. Yeah. Go on, then.
All right. So have you, I remember sometime earlier in the year, you had some sort of an eye injury, didn't you?
Oh, I did.
Oh. That was a year.
No, it was a couple years ago. Yeah.
Was it the same eye, though?
Yes.
It was.
Uh-oh.
So have you seen an eye doctor since you started having the floaters?
No, I'm going Monday.
Okay, good. Have you seen any flashes of light with the floaters?
No, I've heard about
that's good. And do you have just one big one, or do you have a whole bunch of little ones?
Well, a whole bunch of little floaters, little circles.
Ticker tape
some,
parade.
Yep, some little circles and some little...
the ticker tape. Okay, well, just make sure you get seen soon. And if you start noticing a lot more of them, or the flashes of light, or any loss of your peripheral vision, you've got to get in sooner than Monday.
What does the flashes of light mean?
Well, first of all, the floaters, somebody sort of hit on that. The gel inside your eye is called the vitreous gel, or the vitreous humor for you comedians.
Yeah.
And as you age, it does sort of contract, and the little pieces of it can break off, and you start to see those floating around in your vision.
Awesome.
But the problem is when it contracts and pulls away from the retina, it can rip a little hole in the retina, and that's what you're worried about. And if it rips a hole in the retina, usually it'll cause flashes because the retina is sort of an electrical tissue, so it gives off light when it's being pulled on.
Wow, this is Dr. Mike. Yeah. Thanks for
your retina shorting out.
Yeah. This is just all great news. Thanks, Dr. Mike. Okay, and in addition to that, I can look forward to dying alone and being eaten by my dogs. So thanks so much for calling.
You're very welcome.
Appreciate it.
Wow.
All right.
Yeah, that eye injury thing.
Yeah, I thought about that.
Oh, real? So it's just in one eye?
Yeah.
Because I have them in both eyes. So
really?
Yeah.
Wow, this turned into a sad little show this morning. All right.
Oh, boy.
We'll have to get
let's diagnose Stephanie's death.
I have to get you a current eye patch.
And a parrot. Every day will be National Pirate Day here on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Shafe in the chat room says they need to take the Steph bot in for an overhaul. A tune-up.
All right.
Dave, please stop. My mind is going. I can feel it.
Oh, that was gone a long time ago. Yeah. Jay in Orlando, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jay.
Hey. The
The bit with Eric Erickson and how McConnell's lost his supposed testicles that I don't know that he ever had, but
yes,
the right wing now, their stance, I mean, it's been an evolutionary stance, ironic saying that, but they're fighting mode. They're not willing to compromise. I follow a couple of GOP operatives on Twitter, and with Romney as the nominee, the tone now is just so much more aggressive, and that anybody that goes to Congress that wants to compromise is going to be out of the party and all that. It's just amazing the shift that's taken on, and the fact that they view compromise as such a taboo topic now.
I mean,
no wonder we're screwed like we are.
Yep, exactly. By the way, we just had the Obama guy on from the National Security Advisor, and he was talking about, I was saying about we're back to 1983. I was going to say we have to get in the DeLorean, and the headline is Biden knocks Romney for Back to the Future foreign policy. He said, Governor Romney is counting on our own collective amnesia, but Americans know we cannot afford to go back to the future, back to a foreign policy that would have America go it alone. Shout out to the world that you're either with us or against us. Lash out first, ask the hard questions later, if at all. Isolate America instead of our enemies. Thank you. Exactly. Mm. And, oh, according to Chuck Grassley, the Ruskies are mostly the problem.
What use is Chuck Grassley?
Ruskies posing as Colombian prostitutes.
Nuclear combat toe-to-toe with the Ruskies.
Oh, by the way, speaking of the Colombian prostitutes, I think Senator John McCain is getting to be a dirtier old man. He wants more details.
I need more details on the prostitute scandal.
A very disappointing briefing from the military today. They had no details. Didn't even
no pictures.
Know who was in charge on the ground at the time.
Tell Granby some more details.
Yeah. I want some dirt.
They're dirty, dirty girls, aren't they? Those Colombian prostitutes. Okay. Janet Napolitano, Homeland Security Secretary, about the scandal.
This behavior is not part of the Secret Service way of doing business. They're very professional.
Really? Oh, damn. That's going to hurt recruitment. It's not part of it?
Yeah, nab it.
All right. Barry in Pittsburgh, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Barry.
Morning, Steph.
Good morning.
My wife, I just went through 4 weeks of driving my wife back and forth to work, and she had a floater in her right eye. Went into the doctor. He sent her to an eye specialist. They said that it was, again, age, 67 years old.
Yes. Well, I'm considerably younger. Uh-huh. Go ahead. Uh-huh.
It can happen, doesn't it? Not only old age. But,
all
right.
Yeah.
It was... It was good that she reported when she did, because hers tore right by a blood vessel.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
Oh, heavens. All right, Barry. Thanks. You know what? Don't call me with your alarming stories. That's the good news for you, Chris. You'll be able to drive me around for these, be driving Miss Steffi for a few weeks. Won't that be fun? We'll get to spend more time together.
I already did that when you broke your foot. Remember? I came to your house every day to pick you up.
It's all downhill from here.
I know.
Bill in Albany, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Stephanie. It was interesting you got into the Ruskies, because I'm kind of thinking of you on Current as like the 2012 version of Radio Free Europe, where you're broadcasting behind the polyester curtain into Crackerville.
Yes. Yes, that's me.
You've done a spectacular job. Also, I'm very pissed, being the official courier driver of the Stephanie Miller Show, that today I paid 8 cents less for gasoline than damn Obama.
Yeah.
And oh, my God, and the oil companies won't be getting as much. I'm pissed.
Yeah, all right. All right, you too. All right, honey. 58 minutes after the hour, Representative Joe Courtney next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website. Sexy Liberal John Fugelsang joins us tomorrow.
Yes, indeed.
For all 3 hours of Fridays with Fugelsang.
From the New York Bureau.
Hoorah. Okay. Jill writes, Steph, listened to you on and off for a few years. Sadly, I'm not a morning person, so I would miss the majority of your show. I'm very pleased now to be able to DVR your show on Current.
A lot of people are doing that.
Huh?
Yeah, we're not morning people either.
No, but, we aren't either. Which is sadly for all of us.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm certainly not a night person anymore. I can't stay up past 7.
Yeah, me neither. Hello. Mine's going back and back to like 6 now.
Ooh. Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah, it gets bad.
At this time of year, it is blazing bright out at 6 o'clock.
Right. Oh, Mama's got shutters. Like, nobody's been this. All right. So we got lots to get to. Representative Joe Courtney of the great state of Connecticut joins us now. Good morning, Representative.
Hey, Stephanie. Great to be back.
Thank you for coming back.
Yeah.
You've been talking about student loans, as the president has. This would seem like a no-brainer to not have student loans have their interest rate double, right?
Yeah, of course it is. And, you know, all the data that's out there about student loan debt now exceeds credit card debt, car loan debt. But, you know, I think it's important as we're now starting to see some, you know, really frantic butt covering by the Republican leadership that the president challenged Congress back at the time of the State of the Union to do this. My bill, which I introduced that night, believe it or not, you know, has been steadily accumulating co-sponsors. Public Interest Research Group 45 days ago dropped off a petition with 130,000 signatures from college campuses around the country. Speaker Boehner and his, you know, folks on the Education Committee have been just totally dismissing this issue up until the president, to his credit, you know, took this thing on the road and really elevated the noise on it. And now, again, last night we heard Speaker Boehner saying, "Oh, we always, you know, we're going to do this."
Sure.
And it's really, and again, the other point, I just think it's important for your listeners to know, the Ryan budget, which they produced and voted on,
and Mitt Romney thinks is marvelous.
Marvelous, locked in the higher rate. I mean, that was built into the Ryan budget plan, and doubled down in terms of hitting needy students by cutting the Pell Grant program, which, as you know, is the workhorse for families that can't handle the cost of college. 9 million students use Pell. And these guys were cutting the award, which the Democrats had raised to $6,000 over the last few years, back down to $5,000. So these are crocodile tears of Olympic proportions.
Speaking of tears, here is Speaker Boehner yesterday.
For the president to go out and to campaign on this with taxpayer funds is inventing an issue that just does not exist.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, it's staggering to hear it. I mean, the Education Committee, controlled by the Republicans, after the president's State of the Union address, did not introduce a bill, hold a hearing, do a markup. Again, Virginia Fox, who the president quoted in his speeches on the college campuses, was on the G. Gordon Liddy show. I guess she doesn't go on your show.
It's weird. She doesn't return my call.
But was quoted as saying that she had no tolerance for students who graduate with $200,000 or $80,000 worth of debt, which is, this is the chairwoman of the Higher Education Subcommittee. And the chair of the committee, you know, said it was bad policy to protect the lower rate, which was in the New York Times last Friday. So, you know, now these guys, like I said, are scrambling big time.
Representative, she has a point. I mean, the president said he just paid his loans off 8 years ago, and what has he made of himself with that kind of waste of money?
You know, it's funny. I've been working on this, as you said earlier, for a while, and it's been pretty actually impressive to have people coming up to me unsolicited back home, some of them staunch Republicans, middle class business folks who pull me aside and say, you know, the Stafford Loan Program made it possible for me to go to college and transform my life, and thank you for working on this. Stafford, by the way, was a Republican, Robert Stafford from the state of Vermont, and these guys, just were once again sort of breaking faith with their own party's, fingerprints and work on this issue in the past.
And once again, as with everything, you know, I think their priorities are just misplaced. The issue is, how are we going to pay for this? The president yesterday.
Some of them suggest that students like you have to pay more so we can help bring down the deficit. Now, think about that. These are the same folks who ran up the deficits for the last decade.
Yep.
Yeah, and want to continue to do that with tax cuts for the rich while you know, these are their priorities, cutting education, cutting Medicare, right?
Well, then...
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I think they need a lot of uneducated people to vote Republican. And they're looking forward.
Well, the pay for that Speaker Boehner has just introduced as of last night, is to use a fund that was created in the Affordable Care Act to provide access to ovarian cancer screenings, wellness programs, all the stuff that, you know, creates smart savings in the healthcare system, but which they have just been obsessed with wiping out. And again, I think, you know, the senators already signaled that that's a dead on arrival to use that as a pay for. You know, there are certainly tax loopholes for oil companies. There's tax loopholes for hedge fund managers. You know, there's lots of ways that you can offset the cost of the protecting student loans. But going after, healthcare programs that are going to provide life-saving access to care and oh, by the way, reduce healthcare costs is not the way to go.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, that's what I mean about, you know, just the priorities in terms of, we all think, you know, we should have to cut in certain places, but it seems in every instance their priorities are just wrong.
Right. And the true, you know, I think tale of the tape is what they did with the Ryan budget.
Right.
I mean, the higher education just got you know, hit by a chainsaw in that thing.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, I don't think it's an accident that Rick Santorum says, you know, you're snobby and elitist if you want your kids to go to college. I mean, this is what they're espousing. He, the Virginia Foxes of the party, right?
That's right. I mean, and when you think about what's the end game of that type of policy, I mean, it really reduces higher ed to the haves versus the have-nots. Yeah. And as a nation, our graduation rates, which have already been declining at an alarming rate, we were number one in the world in the 1980s. We're down to 12th today.
Yeah.
I mean, you're just going to accelerate a trend towards mediocrity.
Yeah, and I think the president said it best yesterday. Take a listen.
This isn't about class warfare. We want every American to succeed. But we also understand we're in this thing together, and America's not about just a few people doing well. It's about everybody having a chance to do well.
That couldn't be in starker contrast, could it, to Mitt Romney telling a bunch of students, gee, I hope you're shopping for a cheaper school, and if you're not, I hope that you don't think the government's going to help you in any way.
Right. No, and I mean, obviously, another Olympic-sized flip-flop I think they realized that this thing was really danger zone, not just for young voters, for middle class and independent voters. I mean, people get this in terms of trying to make sure that they're going to, you know, not get just buried in debt.
Right.
With trying to do something that almost is essential now, which is to get a post-high school degree.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Well, I know it is. It's a very simple. It's like, let's see, my kid's, the college loan doubles or it doesn't. It's pretty simple. Representative Courtney, thanks for your work on this and thanks for your time as always.
Thanks, Stephanie. We'll be in touch.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right. Bye-bye. See you again soon. All right. Oh, with some positive news on floaters, I could use that. Hi, Bruce in California.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Moves. Good to hear you guys.
Every or as I read it here on my day. As I read here on my screen, Bruce in Flunkernmerger. Oh, I'm sorry. All right. Oh, wait, the floaters are gone.
Petaluma.
Okay.
Petaluma.
Petaluma,
California.
Right. My hometown.
Yeah, I love it here and love you guys. God,
thank you.
Make my day every single day. My floater news is that I had floaters, too. I've had them for a while.
Uh-huh.
And I had a flash. That's the bad thing.
Uh-oh.
So I went to the eye doctor. He said, I can fix that. You want me to do it? I said, yeah, fix it. So he put a laser kind of a gun on my eyeball and boom, 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 shot, like a weld all the way around my retina and tacked
welded
it right back up.
Wow.
Yep. Yep.
I'm going to have to have my eyeball welded back into my head.
You might.
Awesome.
You might.
And
but the light shows will go on.
And that's the positive news?
That's the positive.
Awesome.
There's fixing. They can fix it. Wow. No surgery. It actually is pretty cool. And your eyeball's, shot for a couple hours, but it comes back perfectly.
Awesome.
The good news is your eyeball becomes a googly eye for a few hours, but once it settles down.
The good news is your eyeball is also a flotation device.
Yes.
So.
In case of a crash, I'm like one of those little games they shake.
Yeah,
so like one day my eye will just kind
of...
Or I'll end up like my teacher in high school, Mrs. Thornton. She had that one eye that looks...
A janky eye?
Yeah, the janky eye that looks across the room. So then when I'm asking you for stuff, you'll be like, what? Who are you looking at?
What?
You're looking at Jim. You're not looking at me.
Groucho Marx had that a little bit.
Well,
said you. You get that sound effect.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
but it sounds like
you.
This. It's
what?
There's nobody over there. Who are you?
Yeah. Who are you looking at?
Have you seen ghosts?
Mike.
Wow.
Mike in Delaware. I'll be the entity. Mike in Delaware.
All right. Man, I love the show, as always, on current TV. And I can't believe people say, like, media like Fox News and CNN don't give coverage to the right wing. Current is the only liberal news that I know of. And the War Room with Jennifer Granholm says, how did Romney get his groove back? Simple. Lies, misinformation, and blaming Obama for everything the GOP did or didn't do.
That's right.
Yeah, Mike, thanks for paying attention, because honestly, that's why Current is here. I just think there is no, you know, the mainstream media, if you read this, we were just talking about this study, Romney got twice as much positive coverage as President Obama did. Obama got twice as much negative coverage. Mm. Excuse me.
Alternate put out a list of all of Koch Brothers' products. We need to get them on the air and boycott them. And also, another way for this vote, if the corporations are putting out positive ads for legislators, they don't vote for them. And if the legislators are putting out negative ads, these people must not support their agenda. So vote for them.
Yep. All right, Mike. I thank you. And thanks for paying attention to what we're doing here at Current, for God's sakes. By the way, it's not liberal news. It's news. And facts have a well-known liberal bias.
That's right.
We've heard before. I mean, we were saying that the mainstream media, their main, it's to have a story. It's to have a close race. And so
we'll have to leave it there.
They always have to leave it there. Hillary Rosen, would you like to look in the camera? I think he's just going to make Hillary Rosen apologize for something else that she's not responsible for every week.
I should apologize for World War One and the Lindbergh baby.
You have something to say about the Holocaust. All right.
Oh.
I'm just saying. I just think he's going to get more and more ridiculous for ratings. It's just, they need a story. Poor Hillary Rosen is going to be, she's going to have to pay for everything.
Sure.
All right.
She's going to have to apologize for my great aunt's gout.
Yeah. Hillary, you want to look in the camera? Okay. 19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
Hello, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to 24. Just dealing with a number of medical crises. All right, 24.
Oh.
I'm just worried about Max. All right.
Oh.
So, yes.
Fingers
not,
are crossed.
Yes, it's not floaters, so I don't know. All right, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number.
Floaters of a different kind?
No, I don't know.
Okay.
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Let's go to Jean in Minneapolis. Hi, Jean.
Morning, Steph.
Good
I
morning.
Got two things.
Okay.
One serious, one I hope amusing.
All right.
Serious. Saudi Arabia is paying for their students to come over here and get an education, mm-hmm. full boat, for free. They don't put more than 50 students in an institution, so you can't really see the numbers if you're just down on the ground in
right.
an individual institution. But there are thousands of Saudi Arabians getting a free education here. We aren't even looking at, we aren't having a discussion about free education. We're just talking about a reasonable rate so people aren't crushed when they get out of school by the debt.
Yeah.
It's a ridiculous conversation.
Gene, I made this point yesterday. This is what annoys me, is the Republicans always make this like some handout. Oh, you're looking for a handout. It's not a handout. It's a fair rate on a loan that you're going to pay back, right?
That's right. You can sell a treasury for 2%, give students a 3.5% loan. The government makes 1.5%. Where's the problem?
Yeah.
So, okay. I would like to today be the Stephanie Miller official footwear fashionista. And here is my pointer.
Okay.
Buy a pair of red flip-flops and a pair of blue flip-flops and put one red flip-flop on your right foot, a blue flip-flop on your left foot, and they're knit flops.
Hi, look at what you did there, Steve. She had a serious thing.
Kind of clever.
And a humorous thing. Whee! Okay. All right. Hey, looky here.
What?
More Americans believe in witchcraft than agree with Citizens United.
Yeah, I saw that.
Witchcraft.
That cuckoo witchcraft.
Yeah, exactly. 69% agree that new rules that let corporations, unions, and people give unlimited money to super PACs will lead to corruption. Only 15% disagreed. 19% of Americans believe in spells or witchcraft. Just saying. All right. So, by the way, the SB 1070 is the immigration laws before the Supreme Court. Governor Cripkeeper.
Jan Bruiner, bony finger.
Arizona has a right, and I, as governor, I felt, was somewhat ensured that I had a right to protect the citizens of Arizona.
And put my bony white woman finger in the President of the United States' face. Oh, I don't have a right? I'm sorry. Yeah, Justice Scalia, I'm telling you, he's becoming more and more a politician and less of a judge.
Yep.
Compares immigration enforcement to a crackdown on bank robbers. What's with his analogies? Can you make the government make you eat broccoli? What? Anyway, the debate surrounding Arizona's immigration law, a heated one, is Scalia added to the strong sentiments. He was questioning the U.S. Solicitor General, and he asked what's wrong with states enforcing federal law, adding, there is a federal law against robbing federal banks. Can it be made a state crime to rob those banks? He mocked the Obama administration's argument that SB 1070 unconstitutionally forces the federal government to reprioritize its enforcement resources to go after undocumented people who are not dangerous. That's their argument. So... an immigration policy expert said the analogy is obviously false. As a justice, he knows there are things that only the federal government can do, things the states can do, and right. sometimes things that both can do. In this case, only the feds can deport unauthorized immigrants. In the case of bank robbers, either the state or the feds can arrest, prosecute, and jail them. Scalia is said to have gotten worked up in the courtroom, interrupting the Solicitor General about international factors, saying, so we have to enforce laws in a manner that please Mexico? Is that what you're saying?
Is that what you're saying?
Why doesn't he just hurry up and retire and get a job on Fox News?
I know.
It's like, that's not a...
I wish he'd take a cue from Thomas and just shut the F up.
And watch porn, exactly. Yeah. God's sakes. All right. Let's go to Kenneth in South Carolina real quick. Hey, Kenneth, welcome.
Hey, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
I just wanted to make two comments. If corporations are people, can somebody tell me the last time a corporation came back in a body bag or missing a limb?
Or got executed in Texas.
Yep.
Yeah. All right.
Or went to jail.
Right. 29 minutes after the hour, back with Ron Reagan next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Homeowners, did you know a burglar?
Stephanie Miller.
But it's in Canada. That doesn't count.
No, it counts.
What happens in Canada stays in Canada.
Yeah, Canada doesn't count.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. All right.
You okay over there?
All right. Everything's fine.
All right.
All right. We'll soldier on. It's not even my floaters. They're better. No, I'm just concerned about my dog. All right, so, Ron Reagan, who I get to see every now and again on a panel or two, and where he is like 1,000 times smarter than I am, and yet I'm still having him on the show. Hello, Ron Reagan.
Hello, Stephanie, and hey, don't make fun of Canada. I can see Canada from my front door.
Oh, nice.
So you should be president, then.
He opens with a Sarah Palin joke. Hello, sir. Your book is out in paperback, your fabulous book, My Father at 100.
Yes, it is. It's like Christmas coming round again. First, they send you a box of hardcover copies, and then a year later, a box of soft covers arrives at your door.
Ron, I thought the book was great. I thought it's interesting. I don't know if you heard about John Huntsman just a couple of days ago saying, Ronald Reagan couldn't make it through a Republican primary today. Your thoughts?
That is possibly true. After all, he raised taxes, about 11 times, I think, when he was president. He had a fairly generous immigration policy as governor of California and signed one of the most liberal abortion laws in the country. He had put that into effect when he was governor of California, too. On the other hand, Mitt Romney has a health care plan from his days days as governor of Massachusetts. It's the spitting image of Obama's national plan, and yet he's going to be the nominee, so who knows?
Well, and I thought it's interesting. President Obama made an interesting point yesterday. He sought to contrast the Republicans of today just with McCain. We're not even talking about your dad or about George Bush. He said, talking about McCain, here's a guy who not only believed in climate change, but co-sponsored a cap-and-trade bill that got 43 votes in the Senate just a few years ago. Somebody who thought banning torture was the right thing to do. Somebody who co-sponsored immigration reform with Ted Kennedy. That's the most recent Republican candidate. That gives you some sense of how profoundly that party has shifted.
No wonder he's not running again.
Yeah. But I mean, so that's the thing, is that I feel like it really is provable when you and I say things like that, like, oh, this isn't my dad and Goldwater's party, or it isn't your dad, Ronald Reagan's party.
Republicans are actually saying this. You're right. So I'll take their word for it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, you know, from your perspective as his son, you know, what do you think your dad would think of today's Republican?
I don't put words in his mouth. I don't pretend to know how he would feel about, you know, cap and trade, or, you know, what to do about Medicare, or what the top rate on, you know, rich people should be, tax rate should be on rich people now. I won't speak for him. Circumstances change. People's minds change. He's been dead for a long time and out of public life for, you know, decades. Now, a lot of other people seem to put words in his mouth. People who, you know, maybe never even met him seem to be, you know, speaking through him here. And that's a little frustrating. But, you know, who else are they going to use that way? The Republicans? Richard Nixon? I don't think he'd work out so well.
Well, it is. You must laugh. I mean, it really is like a Reagan off, all these, you know, presidential Republican primary.
I'm really the next Ronald Reagan.
And, I'm the Reaganiest. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm the Reaganiest you could get. It even happens in our family, I have to say. So.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you know, in our family, too, it's interesting you say that. We have the same, you know, sort of debate about it. And the same thing, as my dad's been gone a long time. Hard to say what he would think. But, you know, we have a debate about what we think he would feel. And, you know, we have somewhat of the same split you have in your family, in fact.
Yeah, I think he would feel, back to your original question, I guess, I think he would be very uncomfortable with the sort of animosity across the aisle. Now, you know, he disagreed with Tip O'Neill, with Ted Kennedy, but he liked both of them, got along, you know, just fine with both of them, and they got along with him. You know, in those days, you actually could reach across the aisle and, you know, get something done, which seems to be the point of going to, you know, Washington in the first place. You're supposed to do things.
You know, Ron, I thought it was his perfect story today, speaking of my dad, who was a big Notre Dame man, went to Notre Dame. There's a plaque, you know, in Notre Dame honoring my dad. Last week, I don't know, you saw this Catholic bishop, Daniel Jenke, spark national outrage when he compared Barack Obama to Adolf Hitler and Joseph Stalin. So a large group of Notre Dame professors have called for him to either apologize to Obama or resign from Notre Dame's board. And I think my dad would agree with that, having been an assistant prosecutor at Nuremberg. And, you know, you don't use this kind of rhetoric.
You don't say that the President of the United States is like Hitler. So far, I haven't seen the trains leaving heading east. That's a pretty specious comparison. An apology would certainly be in order. I won't say he has to resign, but an apology, a sincere apology would be in order.
So obviously your father's presidency remains relevant today. What, you know, who would you, you know, everyone's talking about, again, as somebody that is provably genetically more Reagan-y than any of them, who would you consider the closest to his legacy?
There is nobody right now, I don't think. None of these people. First of all, most of the people running in the Republican primary here weren't really running for president. Mm-hmm. I mean, did anybody notice the Newt? Well, I know you did. Notice that Newt Gingrich was on a book tour. You know, and what the hell was Herman Cain doing there at all? I mean, what was he, thought he was going to sell pizzas while he was? It was these weren't serious candidates. Michelle Bachmann, you know, you only need to say the name Michelle Bachmann to conjure up all sorts of insanity. You know, so Romney, you know, is kind of the only choice that's even remotely credible. Yet he spent the entire primary trying to make himself less credible. So I don't see anybody. I don't see anybody that's even remotely like my father out there. Certainly not in terms of the charisma and just the kind of chops.
What would your dad have said to Grover Norquist if he demanded that he sign his little pledge?
Who are you, funny little man?
Get out of my office.
Get out of my office. Yes, don't. You messed up my rug here. Get your dirty shoes off my rug. Yeah, I don't think he would have acceded to any demands from Grover Norquist. And I don't see Grover Norquist telling my father to sign anything.
What's your favorite memory of your dad?
My favorite memory, well, there are a lot of memories of my dad's. One of the ones in my book that just speaks to his doggedness was that time that he and I headed out at his ranch in Santa Barbara to find these big stones that he was going to use to build a porch for my mother. The front porch was going to be, stones that he had brought and, planted in the ground and everything, build this porch. So we head out and we find these stones and we load them in the back of this trailer that he's hauling in his Jeep. And he decides that we're not going back the way we came, the low road. No, we're taking the high road, which means going up this steep ridge, but while we're hauling tons of rocks. And the Jeep isn't made for this. So we get like halfway up, and now we're going backwards, being hauled by the stones. But he won't give up. We barely survived the first trip up this ridge, and I'm thinking, okay, it's done now. We're taking the low road home. We're going to save our lives. Oh, no. He's not going to be defeated by anything as meager as gravity. No, and we just kept, it was like some World War II movie where you keep trying to take the bunker or the pillbox up the ridge again and back down backwards.
He was in that movie, wasn't he?
Back down until finally he won.
Oh, wow. And that's the last time a Republican has ever taken the high road. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. I kid.
Yes.
Ron Reagan.
Thank you for that setup. There,
yeah. The book is fabulous and heartwarming. It is My Father at 100 by Ron Reagan, out in paperback. Ron, I know you gotta go because you got lots more interviews, but thanks so much, honey, for taking time.
Oh, well, listen, thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure.
See you again real soon on a panel somewhere.
Yes, I think later this summer in Seattle.
Oh, there you go.
Yep.
All right, honey, thank you.
There he
goes. Ron Reagan! That's a hilarious story.
Yeah. Get the book and read that story.
I'm not going to be defeated by gravity.
Charlie in Dallas here on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Charlie.
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
You are the sexiest liberal in America.
Oh, why? Thank you.
Hey, just wanted to bring something up. I recently saw a little piece of video of Newt Gingrich pandering to the NRA during a speech.
Yes.
Where he said if he were elected president, he would make a point of having a resolution passed making gun ownership a basic human right.
Yes, across the entire world.
Right.
Right.
Yes.
It's pretty bold, and I think most conservatives would probably buy into that, gauged by the reaction of the folks he was speaking to. Why is that so acceptable, yet the Republicans, and conservatives specifically, are fundamentally unable to have a discussion about making health care and education a basic right of citizenship in the United States?
Yeah. Oh, thank you. And yeah,
you
more
have a
interested
right to get
in making
shot.
Yeah, making giving everyone a right to get to get shot. Oh, wait a minute. I have one of those. I just shot myself stories that we love so much.
Oh.
What was the last one we just did, Jim? Oh, a couple shot each other at a gun safety class.
Yes.
By accident. They're both fine now. Okay, hang on. I'm getting it. Everybody, just talk amongst themselves for a moment. Oh, here we go. Yep. Florida man mistakes girlfriend for hog and shoots her.
Oh.
I'm guessing that there's going to be some upcoming issues in the relationship.
She survive?
Yes.
Oh, good.
Yes.
All right.
A weekend camping trip ended in an airlift to the emergency room. Don't you hate that? Stephen Egan was hunting with his girlfriend in the northern part of the state. Oh, the Redneck Riviera there, Florida. When he mistook her for a hog and shot her. This is going to...
Which is worse, or being mistaken for a hog?
He heard her and thought it was a hog and just a shot, according to ABC News. The mistake not actually related to her appearance. At least I'm sure that's what he's going to say.
Sure.
Rather, he had earlier shot at a hog that continued to evade him. He instructed her to stay at the campsite while he pursued the evasive animal. However, she ventured away from the campsite, apparently searching for oranges that had fallen in nearby trees. So she may also not be the sharpest pencil in the box.
Oh, God.
He heard rustling in the woods and fired in her direction without making visual confirmation of...
there are some people who shouldn't have guns.
Yeah, maybe not for everybody, gun ownership. No, not really.
Oh, son of a bitch! I just got myself.
Yeah, because Jim, you know this, you're married, that women never forget any little thing, so I'm guessing that's going to come up again.
Yeah.
Remember that time you thought I was a hog and shot me?
I said I was sorry.
Would you let him forget?
That's a little worse even than forgetting a birthday.
Yeah.
Okay. He'll probably get to it first. I know, you're going to say the time, but I thought you were
hogging
a shot.
I thought you were hogging a shot. Sorry.
All right.
Talk about holding a grudge.
By the way, did you find any truffles in there? Okay! Yeah. Joking. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
They degrade women and beavers.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. I want to do bad things.
Okay. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Don't have to ask me twice. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Let's go to Lisa in Los Angeles. Hi, Lisa. Welcome.
Oh, my God. I love you guys.
Oh, my God.
I love
God.
You guys to death.
Thank you, Lisa. We love you,
you
know, back.
I'm a Keith follower. Mm-hmm. And then when Keith came over to Current, I discovered Current and I love it. And then I lost him, of course, you know, so. And then I go, I'm dying inside. I died a little inside every day.
Well, you know what? If I could count how many times people said that to me, you know, that really they were dying inside till they met me. And Lisa,
I met you guys, I've been resuscitated. But anyway, let me just say this really quick.
Yes.
When the Republicans, the way that they've been sabotaging the government, which means that they've not been doing what they've been sent there to do. Clearly, they've been blocking everything that makes sense.
Yep.
Isn't that treason? Isn't that bad? That's bad, right?
So
isn't that what that is?
Yes, I think the entire party should be executed for treason. What? Oh, newsbusters, did you get that? Lisa, you got me in trouble. All right.
Oh,
join the magic. She was dead inside until she met us.
Many people are.
Right?
Can you impeach members of Congress?
All right.
For not doing
their
job?
Just kidding, newsbusters. Okay. I'm just telling you, I can't wait to get home. Stephanie Miller says the entire Republican Party should be executed for treason.
My Google News alert for Stephanie Miller goes ape dump. Yeah.
Ooga, ooga.
Ooga. But I heard my friend Randy Rhodes saying that she made newsbusters for something. I don't know. She said, why do they keep calling me a drunk? And I'm thinking, see, I should get it on and go, you're thinking of me.
Yes.
You're thinking of me. That's not Randy. Because I don't even drink. 52 after. Yeah. No, you're thinking of me, newsbusters.
Yeah. You need to get it straight.
Please, get it straight. I'm the left-wing drunk.
Well,
okay.
They are kind of dopey over there. So.
Left-wing drunk Randy Miller. What? I'm sorry.
I'll go defend her. She just needs to give me a heads up.
Stephanie Rhodes.
When she makes the Google alert, I'll go, you know. Okay, economists, higher tax rates on the rich won't hurt growth. What? But I thought the right wing told us what the, huh? What the, huh?
Economists, what do they know about the economy?
Yeah, they keep saying it's going to hurt economic growth. Two prominent economists. I know, right?
Yeah.
Right in today's Wall Street Journal. In post-war U.S., higher top tax rates tend to go with higher economic growth.
Well, they know. Economists have a liberal bias.
They also know growth can be boosted if the revenue raised from higher taxes gets spent on infrastructure or other public investments. And they included a helpful chart that shows that job growth has been the weakest when the top tax rate was at its lowest.
It's called a no-brainer. So
yeah, exactly.
Republicans should be able to get that.
Hey! Hey! Clark. Okay, you know what? This is getting to be too much now. So TLC is resurrecting Lisa Left Eye
Lopez, yeah,
via hologram.
We need a moratorium on that.
They're going to pull a two-pack when TLC reunites for a U.S. concert tour. They're going to project her image and work her vocals into live performances. See, it's just now it's raising the bar. Who am I going to resurrect for sexy liberal? I think Sam Kinison. I thought he was hilarious. Do you have to? Is it like a new rule now for concerts?
I guess so.
Seems a little creepy. You know, Chris, this morning I came in and you said to me...
Oh, the White House called.
So it would seem like I can get a shout-out from the president. The president made the cover of the Rolling Stone, Jim.
On the cover of the Rolling Stone.
Yeah. And he said John Stewart's brilliant. All right. Whatever. He said, I don't watch a lot of TV news. I don't watch cable at all. I like The Daily Show. If I'm home late at night, I'll catch snippets of that. I think Jon Stewart's brilliant. All right, whatever.
You'd think that Al Gore, having some familiarity with the White House, would say...
Next time they call, just say, can Stephanie get a what?
Yeah.
Maybe Al should show up as the cable installer.
Yes.
Put current TV
put current
on all the
in
TVs.
There.
Yeah. Can you get current in the Oval Office, for God's sakes? Oh, here's good news for politics. What's his name? Tariq, who's the White House crasher?
Tariq Salahi.
Salahi of Real Housewives of D.C.
Yeah.
He's going to run for governor of Virginia.
He was also the White House party crasher.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
He, as you recall, his wife left him to bang the guitarist from Journey, which I just think is...
Neil Schon.
Which is not as bad, I grant you, as the drummer from Foghat. But still, it's embarrassing.
Actually, I knew one of the bass players for Foghat. I see him at auditions every once in a while.
All right. Speaking of rock bands, Ozzy Osbourne's going to be a grandfather.
Yeah, grandfather.
Jack Osbourne and his girlfriend welcomed the baby girl. I wonder if Ozzy's going to do the bedtime stories.
Once upon a time, there was a bridge, you know, is down there, the thing with the thing. And
Grandpa, I don't understand the story.
What are you on about, Grandpa? I don't understand. Any bloody subtitles.
Tina Fey loved Julianne Moore's Sarah Palin.
Who didn't?
Yeah, right?
Well, Sarah Palin didn't.
No, she didn't care for it.
Not a fan.
No, gays and gals, you betcha. Tina Fey said, oh my gosh, I just thought it was fantastic. She was so good. I thought she was so good. I hope I get invited to hand her an Emmy. Yeah.
That would be awesome.
Oh,
yeah.
That would
be so cool. Oh, both of them doing Sarah Palin? Ha! That would be fantastic.
Awesome. Oh, no. Bad news from Gawker. The Kardashians will never, ever go away, and it's all your fault.
Yeah. Yeah.
E! Has signed them to an unprecedented 3-year, $40 million gun.
Why?
That doesn't actually cover product endorsements, which means the Kardashians stand to make much, much more than
that. I didn't think
E!
Paid that much.
What a great country this is. This is awesome.
Wow.
Kids can't get student loans, but
the Kardashians get $40 million for acting like asses 40. On television.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, this happened to me. I always say her name wrong. Modern Family, Sophia
Vergara.
Yes.
Oh, she's great.
She got carded at a club in New York City.
This does not happen to you.
It happened, but I think it's a pity thing. You get pity carded. She's 39.
Name and social security number at the wine barn.
Well, now that I have floaters, they're like, oh no, we know you're. Yeah, she had no idea to prove she was over 21. I'm telling you, they pity card you sometimes at the supermarket and stuff. I'm telling you. But not anymore. They're like, oh, floaters, never mind. We know you're old enough.
I don't think I've been carded since I was 30.
Yeah, right. It's been a while since I've been carded.
Yeah, no, I'm telling you, they just do it to make elderly women like me feel better. Michelle in Columbus, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Michelle.
Hi. One quick point about the school loans. In addition, remember, it's not just the student that's saddled with the debt and the with the loans. In most cases, the parents have to co-sign. So, you know, your student graduates tens of thousands in debt. They get a job paying $9.50 an hour. They can't pay the loans. They move in. And mom and dad's house is on the line. And their retirement.
Yeah, exactly. It's a domino effect.
That's right.
All right, that's it for us today. I'd like to thank executive producer, engineer, boy toy, Chris Lavoie, voice deity, Jim Ward, surly associate producer, Rebecca Taylor on phones and drums. Tomorrow, don't forget, sexy liberal John Fugelsang all
Absolutely.
3 hours for Fridays with Fugelsang. Thanks to Courtney and the gang in the current control room.
And Jackie Scheckner,
Jackie Scheckner.
She's hot.
See you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.